This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today I have with me Raja Singham, founder and managing director of BAC Education, which administers to several private higher education institutions, including Brickfields Asia College. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Raja. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, let's start with the fact that both you and your wife, Meera Mahendran, founded what would become Brickfields Asia College nearly 30 years ago when you were in your 20s. And shortly after that, you were hit quite badly by the Asian financial crisis and the global financial crisis. We're now in a time of crisis yet again under this COVID-19 pandemic. Is BAC prepared to weather it?
Okay. Actually, I think we set up the college in 91. I had sold it in 95. And kept a very small stake at that time, and actually gone into a whole bunch of other entities, technology and other related entities, in areas of solutions, the what was then the largest business information database in probably Asia. When the crisis happened, I was actually managing a different group of companies. And yes, we had, I think, about 70 million ringgit of jobs in our first year. And when the crisis came, we were totally wiped out. I lost in about 12 days, I think it was probably about 30 million, and was virtually gone. So in that sense, it was not under... I subsequently came back and bought Brickfields College back some years later, in the 2000 plus. But there is that experience I've gone through with the other crisis, though that was not a health pandemic. But that, I think, has helped us a lot in the last few years. And especially now, we are trying to share their experiences with other businesses so to help them navigate the difficulties. So, yeah, I've been through a really tough Asian financial crisis, but not with BAC, but with the other entities at that time.
So now, with BAC as it stands, okay, you've got multiple institutions with presences in Singapore as well as Hong Kong. And despite the fact that, you know, as you say, this is a health crisis, there is also the fear of the economic crisis to come after. So will BAC Education be able to sustain itself during this time? I mean, what kind of reserves are you able to tap into?
Okay, in terms of survival, I have no worries about us, because we are able to cope with that. That wouldn't be a problem. I think the bigger issue here will be how are people going to be able to afford education in the future, how things have to change. And I think for that, we adapt. COVID just speeds up that process. We've moved fully online. We are 100% online. And we've had lots of students come and sign up with us, even during the MCO. And we've done our first digital orientation fully online. We have the technology. Our key problem, I think, that I look at was this. College university studies is not purely about having a learning management system. It's not purely about, yes, you can go and access your lectures or you can access your content. It's a full experience when you go to college, your interaction with other students, your interaction, you know, the whole campus. As far as the teaching and learning, we know we can do that. But what we got to make sure that these kids, you know, whoever is studying, that they are getting as much of the experience as they have in a physical campus.
But the question also is, will you be able to sustain your student numbers as we head into potentially prolonged periods of uncertainty surrounding this COVID-19 pandemic? I mean, higher education institutions around the world are worried, kind of as you referenced as well, that there may be fewer funds to go around to fund students looking to higher education. So what kind of a drop in student enrollments, perhaps, are you anticipating over the medium term?
The issues is more the fact of movement. So, okay, there is uncertainty. The uncertainty will stem from how badly other industries or other people have been affected. So, I mean, there are tons of industries, for example, the hospitality, the travel, the tourism, the concerts, you know, the events, the 20 over 30 industries which have been affected. And whatever it is, there will always be that domino, that ripple effect, because our customers would have come, many of them would have come from those industries. Oil and gas, you know, children or people working in these companies, parents may get retrenched. So that is where the issues may come. And I think this is going to affect every industry. Nobody knows. Like for us, for example, there will be cash flow issues. For example, the SPM exams are normally in October, November. Now they've moved it to the first quarter of next year, which means the January and April intake next year, which are significant new student intakes, will be affected. You know, so that goes without saying. So that has to be dealt with. The other thing is, for example, the law degree exams for some have been moved. The international, like the Cambridge A-level exams have been called off globally. And in some other cases, for example, exams have been moved back 1 or 2 months. So this may then move whether it will affect the progression of these students on these international exams by 1 or 2 months. So I think if people are able to cope with these things, it's fine. But as I say, actually, the key thing is this. In the last crisis in when the states, when they had, of course, it's a different thing, in 2008, it is out of those crisis issues that companies like Uber, Airbnb came out after 2008. And what I see now is companies will have to reinvent themselves. We'll have to rethink how we do business. The problem we have now is this. We're living in two worlds. We have that physical world. So all of us are fully paying all our staff. I mean, in my case, we have no staff cuts. Nobody's going to take a lesser salary or anything. We can manage. We're still wearing all our campus, you know, the buildings, which is about 350 million ringgit of buildings, are still there. So you're living in a hybrid world and not knowing when do we get back. But generally, universities and schools and colleges, all of them, we have been sort of given an indication that we cannot go back for face-to-face, probably till December this year.
Yeah, because, I mean, any kind of a situation where multiple people are required to be in crowded circumstances is going to cause some nervousness, I think, after these couple of months of social distancing. So, say the MCO ends, what kind of guidelines have you thought about for a post-MCO life so far?
Okay, for us, nothing. We are just going to continue online. As a matter of fact, that's what the students want. So the students have been very happy with what we've been doing online, and we are fully equipped to be 100% online right from the beginning to the end of the program. So what we are going to do is, the question is whether some may want to come and use the library or reading space. So then looking at measures like social distancing, staying away from each other, we'll look at it. But we will take guidelines from what the ministry will allow, because what the ministry is also saying is don't let people on board. And we don't want to actually get the kids back in, because I give it, there are millions of university students in Malaysia, I think something like the tune of 4 million. Imagine if these people went back to campus, and then you have the school children. So to me, we have absolutely no problem with online. And actually, the only request I'm getting for our students now is, you know, some of them, when they've gone back to their hometowns, can you all continue like this? We like it. So they actually are enjoying this whole online experience. What I'm looking at and battling is not so much the teaching side of it. I think that side we've got covered. It's, you know, I give an example. We have things like our Back Olympics, which we had, you know, in January this year. The students come in, they play, they've got football, they've got volleyball, basketball, they've got tug of war. You know, it's all these games, and it's a fun type of thing. And I mean, of course, for those kind of games, they're going to be, you know, it's hard to social distance yourself in a basketball game or a, you know, whatever, football or whatever it is. So that side of it, that was the whole, you know, that part of the university life that was enjoyable. And there is where I find the challenge. As far as, you know, studying to get the degree or getting the whatever course you're doing, the online platforms and the teachers and what we have handles that pretty well. Even for terms of interaction, questions, whatever, I find it's great, because people sometimes don't want to put their hand up and ask things, but they're a lot braver online in terms of interacting with each other and the teachers. But it's that other aspect, and that's where I try and see, like, okay, how do we get people back in just so they can interact with each other? You know, like, we in the school have things like fencing class, kickboxing, yoga, swimming, all of these activities, like music classes. And that is where some of these things we can do online. But it's not the same as interacting with people on, you know, where you're in the same physical space.
I'm speaking with Raja Singham, founder and managing director of BAC Education, which administers to several private higher education institutions, including Brickfields Asia College. Stay tuned for more on what BAC is targeting for its growth in this post-COVID world in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Raja Singham, founder and managing director of BAC Education, which counts among its institutions Brickfields Asia College. Now, Raja, earlier we were talking a little bit about how BAC is weathering this movement control order that is currently in place and how well you've been able to adapt to the new and changing circumstances. But now I'd also like to focus on your next growth plans. What else is in store for BAC Education within the next 5 years?
Okay. The key thing in this kind of thing, ultimately to me, is about relevance. And I'm going to quote Darwin here. The species that will survive is neither the strongest nor the most intelligent, but the one most adaptable to change. So for us, while it may be, okay, some student numbers may go down, some courses may be affected. You know, there are things that are going to happen. Cash flow may be affected. This is the best time to take stock and look and see, okay, what new products can I have? What new markets can I enter? What new business models can actually work? So the immediate priority is actually to first sort of be in a sort of survival mode, which is what we're doing now. So we're forgetting about things like, you know, building profits or enterprise value. We just want to make sure we look after what we have. Now that we're online, we can actually sell our products to markets in Hong Kong, in Sri Lanka, in India, a lot more easily. And one of the benefits we have, we actually have Veritas University College within the group, which is an online university and approved to run fully online, even prior to the MCO and COVID. We are looking at collaborative learning, working with other institutions. So rather than competing with each other, it's how we collaborate across borders, across fields. So that's another aspect. There's also convergence within fields. So we are having this thing now, like IBM, for our law students, we are starting to bring in blockchain, AI, cybersecurity for them to study. And these are things we've been pushing for years. You know, I cannot say that it's not going to be challenging because we are living in a very physical type world and this transition was so quick. So we're carrying a lot of expenses from earlier. Whether it's infrastructure, whether it's people, you know, it's there. But we just have to see, because we don't know. We may be able to go back in 6 months, maybe it's 1 year, maybe it's 2 years. But in the meantime, all these expenses are going to be there, and we're going to have to see how we're going to manage that. But I think there are also a lot of opportunities. We need to build a community together. So that's where we are coming from as BAC. So I give us some simple examples. We have our Make It Right movement. We work with over 200 NGOs. BAC Flix, we have the largest education portal in the country now with 175,000 school students getting tuition online for free. And this is from Standard 1 right up to Form 5. From home, using creativity, innovativeness, I think we can actually do it. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So I think that's what we all got to do as SMEs, as businesses, as employees. We got to stand up and be counted.
So, Raja, circling back to something that you said earlier, you talked about the fact that the internet is essentially borderless. So it means that you are now able to provide education to students in a larger number of countries than you would have originally. But the question then is, when you are accessing that much wider playing field, you're also going up against much bigger players than yourself. So, you know, how do you compete with the UK universities and the US universities of the world who are also now taking part in this initiative, in this push towards digital learning?
Yeah, so that's what I was saying earlier, collaborative. You see, in a lot of cases for these universities, they may have some presence, they may have some courses. We work, actually, our entire model has been collaborative. We work with about 25 to 30 universities, and it's always been collaborative. So in a sense, that is the way forward. I can't give everything away. We've got some really interesting models. That's why I say when we look at things like, okay, working with IBM, and we are actually already working with these entities. Now, then at the same time, we've got universities that we work with, from Cardiff to Liverpool to Manchester to, I mean, there are tons of them. So the question now is how we collaboratively put what we have and what they have together and take it out globally. We have some very, very interesting products. And one of the key things here is this. In a lot of the cases of the big giant players, what you must understand is Look at this. Look at Uber, for example. Look at Airbnb. Look at WhatsApp. Look at Facebook. It's an era where, you know, small entities or more nimble entities, like in our case, you need some level of size because making money now is difficult. But it's an era where we are big enough that a lot of the international players will work with us because we have enough of a reputation and a strong branding and very good relations with a lot of these international entities. So because of that, we will leverage off that.
Right.
And for them, it's another avenue, another way to reach a market in this region. So I think people keep worrying like, oh, these guys are going to offer. But it's the same as always. There's a market for a Rolls-Royce, a market for a Bentley, a market for a Mercedes, a market for a Toyota. Markets will be there. So just because they are big players in the market, they will also be pricing differentials. They will be, you know, so like when you see now, some big players have come in and offered some courses for free, but nobody has come and offered any real course like an MBA or our degree for, you know, a degree in medicine or anything of value for free. What is being offered for free are purely tasters. You know, it's publicity, it's trying to get some people on, you know, it's there. So in a way, and they're not going to lower prices of their key or big products to, you know, by taking 99% or 90% off their product. So this is where there's a lot of misunderstanding. You say, oh, but if this university is offering their courses for free, how will you survive? But I say, but can you look and see what they're offering for free? How many credit hours is that of a degree? You know, how much will it be? Because the universities can't offer their core products for free.
You know, BAC Education is mainly known for the law courses that you provide. And there is, of course, some concern as well that the legal profession may be heavily disrupted as we head into IR 4.0. There was a McKinsey survey that estimates 23% of lawyers' jobs will be automated. So how is BAC structuring its education so that its students may perhaps be able to avoid being made obsolete by technology?
Yeah, okay. BAC has tied up with IBM. You know, IBM's got the IBM Watson, and that the IBM Watson is one of the things touted, you know, for artificial intelligence. The thing is, everybody's job, and that's why I was actually advisor for TN50 as a circle expert, everybody's job at some point is going to be affected in some way. But the key thing is, that's why I say it's all about relevance, how you get prepared. So what we've done actually is, instead of being afraid of technology, with this tie-up with IBM, our students will get a chance to learn blockchain, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, you know, even areas like cloud. That's why we've got, within the group, BAC Education, actually Brickfield Asia College, the law school, is one of it. We have ISCT, which is for mass communications, creative comms. We have Veritas, which is an online university that does business and technology courses. We have Reliance, which actually is hospitality, tourism, you know, the events, and also business. We have a whole bunch of courses, but the key thing is this. We have the Digital Transformation Academy, the I4 Academy, and Asia Developer Academy, and Digital Marketing Academy. These four academies actually complement our schools, where students can take these courses, and they cover everything from machine learning to AI to blockchain to cybersecurity. So we are actually getting all our kids to go through this. The challenge we have actually sometimes is more a mindset challenge. So when they come and sign up for a law degree, they're quite shocked that we are telling them, go attend this course on digital marketing or go do this on, you know, go learn about cybersecurity, go learn about artificial intelligence. So we are trying to change that mindset. So with this link up with IBM, amongst others, we also have a tie up with Microsoft, Amazon, we're looking at things like cloud computing. We will make sure the graduates are prepared because key things now, as I said earlier, was skills and competency-based, collaborative, multidisciplinary type learning. So a law degree, to me, the McKinsey report, 23%. Lawyers don't just do, the technology will help the lawyers more than anything else. Okay, because to me, it's a tool. So it will make lawyers' life easier. You use the technology in order for, you know, to make your task quicker, like research will become faster, getting the content will be cheaper. So some of the mundane, basic work, you know, will go away. and lawyers will just reinvent themselves. And for us, we're looking at the law degree as a base degree. So our law degrees now, we have got business studies in it. So they study business, they study digital technologies, they study. So we are changing it. We need to, because we need to make sure our graduates are relevant in the future. But I think sometimes the challenge is trying to get people to understand that, you know, it's changing. You've got to also learn this. And sometimes there's a little bit of pushback. The amount of opportunity given to them and the amount given to them is a lot. And we are pushing them to pick up new skills, new competencies throughout, you know, and to open up their minds. But the key problem is this. A lot of time is more that people don't see the link. If you tell a doctor now go and study 3D printing and study digital things because of, you know, bioengineering, convergence between three fields, digital, biological and physical, he would think there's something wrong with you. Yeah, so I'm very much into all these things. I love technology and I'm always about, you know, pushing the borders on technology and you know, putting the fields together. The challenges sometimes are, say, for example, the documents that you have within the, you know, the ministry on application. So they explain like law is this, business is this, computing is this. They are the bodies of knowledge. And I think sometimes getting those bodies of knowledge within there for years to come up to speed with the changes in the real world, I think that's where the challenge is.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Raja. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, same here, Lynn. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Raja Singham, founder and managing director of BAC Education, which administers to several private higher education institutions, including Brickfields Asia College. I'm Lynn Mark, and this is The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.